Turn with me to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. This is Matthew's account of the resurrection. And we're going to read the whole chapter. Matthew 28, verse 1. At the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go and tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I want to preach a message on the topic, of course, the topic of the resurrection. And I want to ask a question to all of us. Do you believe? If you notice what the angel said to these ladies, the two Marys, and if we include Luke's account, there were more than just the two. But the angel said to them that he was risen. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. And then the angel went on to say, Lo, I have told you. And told you that he is risen, that is. The resurrection was very difficult to believe. Well, that's no surprise, because it's impossible. It was a miracle that God did. And yet, Jesus had told them beforehand. He had told them several times, if we look through the Gospels, he had told them several times that he was going to rise again. It also, the Old Testament spoke of the resurrection. And yet, it was impossible for them to believe, at least not yet. And I want to ask you if you believe. And with that, I want to bow in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on our time in the Word today. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are risen from the dead. I thank you that you've conquered death. And I pray that we would not only acknowledge this as a fact, but also live it. Because since you are risen from the dead, you are coming again. Since you are risen from the dead, you are able to save us from eternal death, the wages of sin. since you are risen from the dead, we can know that we can be resurrected also unto eternal life. And I thank you for this. I pray that we would be encouraged and exhorted today to not just believe this fact, but also to live it daily. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It's ironic that Jesus' enemies were at this time most aware of Jesus' resurrection, at least his claim to be resurrected. Now, they would look at Jesus and reject him. They didn't believe it was possible for someone to actually be the Messiah, even though they would have claimed they were looking for a Messiah. But Jesus didn't fit into their assumptions, and they had rejected him. But they had listened closely enough. This is Jesus' enemies, the Jewish leaders I'm talking about. They had noticed and heard and took note of Jesus' claim to rise again. They were so concerned about it that they went to Pilate and they said, "We want you to set a watch. We want you to seal that tomb." And you can imagine Pilate rolling his eyes and saying, "Whatever, do what you want to do." Pilate was through with this. He had washed his hands, literally, of that Jesus of Nazareth. And he didn't want any more to do with these leaders that had condemned Jesus. Now, I find it ironic that Jesus' enemies were more aware of his claim of resurrection than his friends were at this time. And when it did happen, the Jews bribed the guards to help spread a lie. And that lie, that the disciples had stolen the body, that's the lie, was widespread throughout the region. And it is remarkable how many people still today believe that Jesus is not risen from the dead, even though historically the facts are there. And we were talking this morning at our home, and one of my children said that they had been told about someone who claimed to find Jesus' bones and the bones of Jesus' wife, Mary Magdalene. And people believe this stuff. And the only way that someone would believe that is if they want to believe anything but the truth. And that's the way those religious leaders were. But it's also a disappointment, at least at this current time in Matthew 28 and John 20 and the other Gospels, that the disciples doubted. The disciples were not believing that Jesus would rise from the dead. They thought it was over. They thought they were next. And even it says in verse 16 of Matthew 28 that the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. Of course, Matthew skips some of the appearances of Jesus, such as the road to Emmaus, such as Jesus appearing to them that same day. But Matthew skips ahead in time to where Jesus went to Galilee and met his disciples there. But in verse 16, it says, they worshiped Jesus, but some doubted. And it says in verse 16 and 17 that these are the disciples. And even though they saw Jesus, still they had some lingering doubts. And of course, we know about Thomas, that Jesus had appeared to the 10, and Thomas wasn't there, and they had seen Jesus. They told Thomas, "We've seen the Lord." And Thomas said, "Well, I'm not going to believe unless I am able to touch him." And of course, a week later, Jesus appeared to Thomas, and Thomas was overwhelmed. And he did believe. I'm going to read that passage a little later. But the point I'm making is that Jesus' disciples were slower to believe this concept of the resurrection, even slower than the enemies. But praise be to the Lord that he proved his resurrection through many appearances. Of course, the empty tomb also. No one has found Jesus' bones. They're not there. And anyone who claims is being ludicrous. But Jesus appeared, and the scripture records that he appeared to many people, to Mary and the other women at the tomb. He appeared to his disciples on the same day of his resurrection. They were hiding. And he appeared, and of course, we know that he had a glorified body, and so he just appeared. The doors were locked, and he appeared. And to the travelers, to Emmaus, and then in that case, he walked with them probably for a long time, probably several hours, and talked with them, and they were, it says their hearts burned within them. And then as he broke bread with them that evening, the Bible says that he disappeared and then appeared with his disciples again. And then we find in 1 Corinthians 15 that he appeared to 500 people at one time. 500 eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrected body. And the Bible says that he appeared even to many more than those. But it's just a precious passage in John 21 where he appeared to Peter and the other disciples, but to Peter in particular, had that conversation, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." And he restored Peter from that devastating failure of Peter that he denied the Lord. And what gracious mercy that Jesus showed there. And then, of course, in Matthew 28, where they met on a mountain in Galilee, and he gave that great commission. And, of course, in Acts chapter 1, that he ascended into heaven from the Mount of Olives. The resurrection is the most important event in history, at least so far. The most important event in history. You can say, well, what about this event? What about that event? Of course, his death. That's extremely important. But the resurrection is the most important event because without his resurrection, his death is only a story. His death is only an inspirational person who laid down his life. And otherwise, his death was a intention gone completely wrong and an injustice. But without his resurrection, then his death really does nothing for us. Without his resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that if we don't have hope in the next life, if we only are talking about this life when we're talking about our beliefs, then we are of all men to be most pitied. So his followers are just pitiful if Jesus has not risen from the dead. If he hasn't risen from the dead, then how could he come again? How could he even make such a promise? How could he say, "I'll raise you up at the last day," if he didn't raise up himself? And so his second coming can only before judgment, even if you could logically surmise that he's still in the grave and yet coming again. But if he's not resurrected, then there's no second coming. And if there were, it would only be for judgment because there's no life after death if our Lord has not risen again. And so without this resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have no hope. So what does the resurrection mean to you? Do you believe? The scripture tells us many effects on the resurrection, that the effects that ought to be on our thoughts and our actions. Well, first of all, the resurrection is the basis of our saving faith. Romans 10, verse 9 says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14 says that if Christ has not risen, or if there is no resurrection of the dead, then our faith is vain and we are still in our sins. And I want to read another passage from 1 Corinthians 15 as well. Verse 20 through 22 It says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. In other words, you see something coming up out of the ground or the first harvest, and you know that something more and even better is coming. Well, just like the first fruits of a harvest, Jesus is the one who signified that there would be a resurrection. Verse 21 says, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So the resurrection is the basis of our saving faith, and it's also the hope of our future resurrection. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then how could we expect to have any victory over death ourselves? The resurrection also gives credence to Christ's promise to come again. He rose again, and he literally, bodily ascended back into heaven, the Bible tells us. Acts chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible says that when he ascended, the disciples were standing there gawking up into the cloud that received him. And there were two angels that came and says, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who went up into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And so we know by that account, but also by prophecy, that Jesus will come literally, physically, down to the Mount of Olives when he comes again to earth. But also John 14, and that precious passage in the first part of John 14, how could that be if he has not risen from the dead? Listen to John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said to Martha in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever believeth in me shall never die. And then he asked her the question, do you believe this? But if Jesus had not risen from the dead, what kind of farce is he to make those kind of claims? I'm going into heaven. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to come again. All of this is only possible through Christ's resurrection. The resurrection is also a source of encouragement and perseverance in this life. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What's the context of that wonderful verse? It's resurrection. So our encouragement and our perseverance, the strength that we have through Christ in our weakness, is all based on his resurrection and our hope through that resurrection. The resurrection is also our reason for boldness in our testimony and witness. We have good news. Without the resurrection, what is the gospel anyway? That Jesus died? Well, that's indeed a good thing and a sacrificial thing that he did for us. But without the resurrection, that's not a great deal of good news. But with and since the resurrection, we have wonderful news. And you look through Acts, and the theme of the message over and over by Peter, by Stephen, by the Apostle Paul, and the message is that Jesus is risen from the dead. And it is our reason for boldness as well. Do we have a message worthy of sharing? Absolutely. Our message is true, and it is validated by the resurrection. It's also the qualification for Christ's intercession for us. Romans 8, verse 34, I read that a few minutes ago, that it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who also maketh intercession for us. And so Christ's intercession is possible and validated by his resurrection and his glorification after he ascended. And also, it is the source of our confidence that he will never leave us nor forsake us. How could we be confident that a dead leader is with us? No, we don't have a dead leader. We have a living Savior. And the passage that I read a few minutes ago, again, Romans 8, nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. And when God says in Hebrews 13, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that is only plausible through the resurrection. And even death cannot separate us. And in fact, death is a blessing to the believer, because absent from the body means present with the Lord. So I ask you again, do you believe? Of course you do, if you're born again. There's no way you can be born again without believing in the resurrection. So my question now is, do you live in the reality of the fact that you serve a risen Savior? How often, other than today, do you bask in the glory of that fact? To say, we serve a risen Savior. He's alive. He's in control. He's coming again. The greatest enemy, death, is already defeated. Death has lost its stinger. It's like a bee that's buzzing around, making a lot of noise. Yes, and it's a nuisance, but it has no power. It has no stinger anymore. Death has been defeated. The wages of sin have been paid. Our sentence has been served. And also at a time like this present crisis, it's encouraging that our great physician has also conquered death itself. Now, let me say this briefly, that I'm not saying that we ought to be cavalier about death, about our health. Caution with the disease is good and wise, but fear of the unknown is not faith. Faith and fear cannot coexist. And so when we think about the resurrection, that can resolve the fear of what might happen to us, because even the worst is actually a blessing to those who believe and who walk by faith. So at a time like this, it is indeed encouraging to remember that we have a risen Savior who is alive today. We can live with confidence in uncertain times because he lives. We know that the end of our story is heaven. Just like Revelation, the end is heaven. Like Pilgrim's Progress, the end is heaven. So do you believe? Do you live this way, that the resurrection is coming? Do you thank him every day that you serve a risen Savior? Does your faith in Christ come up in your conversation with others? Is it on your heart? Do you love him enough to speak of him regularly? Do you have confidence before God that he will keep his promises? He's kept his promises to you in these ways. He'll keep his promises for everything else. He's forgiven your sin. He's always with you. These are his promises. He will come again. He's enough for your every need. He's worthy of your worship and adoration, all because he has risen from the dead. So I ask you again, what does the resurrection mean to you? We're going to sing the song, Because He Lives. Because He Lives, and then we'll close in prayer.
He came to love, heal.
Father, thank you for your power over the greatest enemy, death. Thank you that one day your Son, Jesus, our Savior, will come, and he will literally come to this earth, and he will set up his kingdom, and he will wipe out his enemies. And one day, and we pray that it will be soon, we know it will be after that appointed time, that we will live forever with you in heaven. I thank you for that hope. Thank you for that passage in Revelation that talks about our heavenly home, and that God himself, the Bible says, will be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more death. And this is all possible because you have conquered death. Thank you for this day to celebrate that. Thank you for this chance to spend this time together. We look forward to the next time we can be together and sing, "Up from the grave he arose." And I thank you for the promises. And Lord, we would be just fine if you came to get us in the rapture before then. But we pray this according to your will, with thanksgiving and with adoration. In Jesus' name, amen.